Video. It's the only way to get what you want to watch when you want to watch it.
Hello, my name's Justin LeClue, and I'm here today with
Mark Hansen.
And you're listening to the Bay Street Video Podcast, where we go through all this week's notable Blu-rays and DVDs.
And it's spooky season still.
Ooh,
we got the spookiest title of all.
Pumpkinhead.
It's Pumpkinhead, ladies and gentlemen.
Even though I'm looking
gentlemen.
At his head. Not pumpkin enough for
no,
me. No, I want
know?
An orange. I want jack-o'-lantern eyes.
So you put this on the list. I'm surprised because you don't usually put these Shout 4K re-releases on the
no.
list.
No. We haven't talked about Pumpkinhead.
Yeah, it's kind of a movie that I really liked when I saw it as a mm-hmm. kid. And yet I don't really ever
I never loved
to it.
Pumpkinhead.
Yeah, I never loved it. Like, I like the effects. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously Stan Winston, God.
Yep.
I don't know. It never really, when I think back on it, there's not like a moment from it or something that really like stands out to me. It's like, I really like that.
Well, this gives me an excuse to talk about yeah. Pumpkinhead 2, Blood Wings.
And I know people like that. I've never seen that.
By the recently passed away, Jeff Burr.
Right. He did that, eh?
Mm-hmm. I mean,
R.I.P.
Do I remember that movie? No. Do I own the Blu-ray, but I kept my DVD because the DVD has a commentary.
Oh,
it's
yeah?
not on the Blu-ray.
No way.
But the DVD is full screen, and the Blu-ray is widescreen.
That was Shout that put out the
Shout
Blu-ray,
put that
right?
out, yeah.
Okay,
I wonder
okay.
why they didn't get the commentary on it. Maybe they just didn't know.
Yeah,
they just passed
know.
By.
That's a strange one.
Only real pump heads like me know
real pump heads.
I have the DVD of this when it has that like blue cover.
Yeah,
remember?
I remember that. I think we still stock that, actually. They still make those.
It's nice that they put the theatrical poster on it on both the slipcover and the... they're just falling asleep at the switch on this one.
It's fun. You know, I'm looking at it now. I'm like, maybe I should give this another try. I don't know.
Do I remember this like taking a while to start?
Yeah, I think that's what it is, right? And then when you see the monster.
You're like, oh, that's cool.
It's cool.
Yeah.
But then it kind of just proceeds as expected, I guess.
Yep. You know what?
I don't know.
Maybe it's time for another watch.
Yeah, I like it. Never loved it, but maybe I need to.
Update on those Night of the Demons Blu-rays. When I got home and I looked at them, all of them have work prints. Can you imagine watching the work print for like Night of the Demons 3?
Real Night of the Demons heads know.
Okay. Yeah. I couldn't even find like what the differences are. Like, I would need to know what the differences are before I throw myself into something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, if you want Pumpkinhead in 4K, here it is.
There you go.
Is it just me or... This looks cheap, like the top, like 4K Ultra. It does just a cheapness to this whole package.
It's kind of like the Criterion situation where I feel like with these 4K re-releases, there's not a ton of effort beyond, let's just put it out on 4K.
Yeah.
Like, put another disc.
The people who are going to buy this are going to buy it.
Yeah. At least Shout does different packaging than they did for the regular Blu-rays. They've gone away from those like artwork, which we've talked about before. Criterion is literally like the same looking thing. They just slap another disc in.
How do you feel about Best Buy stopping to sell physical media?
Don't care.
To which you would say, wait, did Best Buy sell physical media in
the
last 5 years?
I mean, I haven't been to a Best Buy in person in years. Last time I was there, they didn't really have much of a selection at that
when
point.
When we went to the U.S., I was surprised at how robust their selection was.
No way. They actually
had stuff? Like even Vestron Video titles because they had The Dentist and Wishmaster for cheap.
Interesting. See, that's not how it is in Canada.
No, not
at
all.
I mean, the one thing collectors sort of liked, which you and I don't care about because they were steelbooks.
Oh, steelbooks
like
exclusives, yeah.
New movies coming out, but we don't care about
that. Did I go to the Target looking for that limey 4K steelbook?
Oh, did you go there?
Yeah,
did
but I couldn't find it. No.
Bummer. That's fine. I stick with the umbrella Blu-ray.
I don't think I even picked up that umbrella Blu-ray. No, I didn't.
Okay.
Because I looked at it and I went, huh. I think Steven Soderbergh.
There wasn't
didn't
much
he say
on
it wasn't that one, but he's like, why don't they just let me know that they're doing this? Because I would like to get involved in some way, please. Next up, 4K release, we have The Blob.
So I put this one on because I love The Blob.
The Blob, 5-star movie?
Yeah, I think so.
Is it the
best
80s
I mean, I like it more than the
horror
50s
film.
One. It's up there.
Yeah, I mean the Thing, of
the
course.
The Thing. I really love Return of the Living Dead.
Yep.
That's probably up there.
But there's like, you always forget like
there's
how much there is in The Blob.
The Blob's so much fun. Yeah.
How and the visual effects.
Kevin Dillon.
Yep, Kevin Dillon.
So we're in the Dillon
He's
dungeon. Yeah, but the good Dylan, the good Kevin Dylan.
Yeah. This is like
when
the,
he's got like a big mullet.
This is like a Dylan
you know?
Dinner where it's like we're upstairs. Yeah. Things used to be good. I actually really love this movie. I love like all the weird chances it takes. And supposedly it was a nightmare production as well. That, like, none
it?
Of the visual effects work. So it's wild when you watch a movie and you're like, well, they all work.
It looks amazing. Yeah. And I love how they still like stick with kind of the almost the 50s wholesome vibe of the original at first.
Yeah.
And then they get really gooey.
Like the cool thing
it.
That they do that they kill the protagonist like 30 minutes in. That you're
really
like, oh,
that.
I thought that was going to be the star of them. And he dies in such a horrific way. And they kill some kids too near at the end of the movie.
I mean, it was one one of the, you know, the best examples of bringing those 50s properties into the 80s, like The Thing and The Fly, but, you know, this one just always...
I believe we talked about at length about Frank Darabont last episode, and here he wrote this one.
He wrote this one.
Yeah.
I always forget he wrote this one. And then our that man, and, Chuck Russell, you know.
Nightmare on Elm Street 3, Dream Warriors.
Yes, he did.
I once set a question when Chuck Russell was on the Movie Crypt about he was known as being very yelly and shouty and mean on sets.
Oh, was he?
Yes. And
did not know.
He was very polite with answering. He's like, yeah, you know, that was back in the day. I may have known, like, but like compared to him on like Paradise City, he seems very chill on all that stuff, which makes me like, maybe he needs to anger it up a little bit.
Yeah, right? Like, you gotta get some of that fire back, Chuck. Come on, man.
Well, can you imagine like working on these films? Like, what a nightmare. Like, all the visual effects, and they're just like not working.
Well, it really resulted in something special after all was said and done. So, yeah, this is one. And you know what? I don't even have the show Blu-ray of this. So
no, I have it with the bad cover where they're all like melty faced on it. Yeah.
Yeah. See, I kind of like that. This is a better theatrical.
But you're not going to get, you don't have a 4K player. So, why would you get
the Blu-ray?
This?
It's got the Blu-ray.
Yeah, that's true. Next up, we have Videodrome.
I mean, I love Videodrome.
This is a movie I never revisit.
This is my favorite Cronenberg.
Your favorite?
I mean, I know that's a boring choice.
All
I guess.
Of James Woods' politics and opinions.
Of course. James Woods is the most wholesome man.
So I was recently watching, as is my duty, because people were making fun of it, that like Disney anniversary thing.
Yeah.
And like Hades shows up in it and he has lines and I'm like, did they get James Woods to record new lines for Hades? Yeah. Now,
or like a sound alike.
There is a zombie Robin Williams in that short where they use like different lines that weren't used in the movie. And it's like, that is so sad. That makes me feel bad watching that kind of stuff.
Yeah, okay.
But yes, anyway, Videodrome. I love the movie. It's great.
Great movie.
I feel that I've been oversaturated on it.
Yeah, see,
like, I could just like sketch the movie out.
Yeah, I've seen it I'm the same. I've seen it so many times. I even, in university, I took, at York University
Video,
in Toronto.
Videodrome 101.
There was a David Cronenberg class.
Oh my God.
Which I took as an elective.
David Cronenberg was in the class?
I know.
He was like, I just want to see.
It was the most boring class.
Of course.
Ever.
I was already
a hardcore Cronenberg fan, and it was just bored. For our final essays, I chose to write something about Videodrome, so I watched it like five times in a row. As I was procrastinating, as you do in university, watched it like five times in a row, so I've just watched it
Videodrome
so many goddamn times. But I love it.
It is one of those movies that I have a memory of the ending that's not the ending of the movie, and it's so clear in my head that maybe it's a different movie.
Okay.
Like I vividly remember the end of him going on the like game show set or the TV set.
Yeah.
And him like firing his gun.
Yeah.
And it moved from him firing his gun to like close ups of him with like the mutated hand.
Yeah.
And it cut between both of them. That doesn't happen in the movie though.
Okay.
And I have such a vivid memory of that. And I was like, how did I just construct that in my head? It's kind of like the memory of, I have a vivid memory of in Terminator when, the first one, Arnold Schwarzenegger meets Bill Paxton and he punches him in the stomach.
Yeah, yeah.
I have a vivid memory of his fist going through and there being like globs of stuff on his hand.
Happen.
That doesn't happen.
That definitely doesn't happen.
So like it must be a different movie that I remember.
Yeah,
but
you're combining
two things. It was this too.
Yeah, okay.
Which must be like another 90s movie, probably like The Astronaut's Wife or something like that.
I mean, another classic right there.
Where's the Criterion of that coming
from? Yeah, come on now.
Did you see that like Criterion's putting out a Trainspotting? People are like, finally! And it's like, did you really need
that?
Like, who cares?
It's been out like so many times.
Has it been on Blu-ray?
Yeah.
Then who cares?
A couple times.
Yeah.
Like a special edition. That makes me wonder if they're getting more of the Miramax stuff to put out.
So, but what would be the stuff, the Miramax stuff you'd want to see?
I mean, I'm more into the horror stuff, like the Dimension stuff, which they wouldn't put out. But, I mean, there's all those like 90s Miramax Oscar bait. Like, will there be a Pulp Fiction Criterion?
Wasn't there a rumor that The Faculty's coming out on Criterion?
Was there?
Yes. I remember someone saying that. Mm. And then, like, someone was like, really? And then they're like, no, I'm not joking. Like, they're working on The Faculty.
Wow.
Criterion Blu-ray.
I mean, I'd be happy about that, but.
Great movie.
I can't.
My favorite, probably, of that wave.
Yeah. I would never think that they would do that.
Kevin Williamson, right?
Yeah.
Robert Rodriguez.
Yeah. There you go. There you go. Great movie.
And never got a special edition either.
No, I have the like the Lionsgate Blu-ray.
The one that looks like all the Scream DVDs and you look at the back
it's
and you're
fine.
Like, huh?
Just has nothing on it. But looking forward to that. Okay.
Next up, we have Todd Browning's, what is the subtitle
of this? Sideshow's Shockers.
Shockers.
It's
Freaks,
cool stuff.
The Unknown, and The Mystic. The Mystic. Have you ever seen Freaks?
Yeah, of course.
Great movie.
Who hasn't seen Freaks?
Lots of people.
One of us.
One of us.
Yeah, love Freaks. I've even seen The Unknown, actually.
One where, why can't it? Lon Chaney is like, yeah. I have no legs.
Yes.
But I do have legs.
But I do. I saw it at a rep screening, actually, at the Review Cinema in Toronto.
It was touring.
Silent review, like silent films every month. And we used to do tables for them back pre-pandemic. And I remember we did it for The Unknown. We stole a ton of Todd Browning-related stuff at that thing.
I remember.
But it was a great movie. Great little flick.
I read online that people are like, what is going on at Criterion?
Yeah.
Why do they announce a Chantal Ackerman box set that's never toured?
Yeah.
And then there's stuff that's toured that there's just like no nothing. Announcement. It's like, what is going on?
I seem to remember Criterion saying they were going to release Freaks like years ago.
Yes.
Years ago.
Yep.
And now, and then I totally forgot about it until now. But,
well,
nice,
now
nice
they're
set,
out.
Though,
wait, is Guillermo del Toro featured somewhere on
he
here?
He must be, right? I didn't
I'm
even
looking
look,
here. But... I mean, if he's not, what's going on? I would have saw Criterion have him on speed dial. Well, I saw some people a little bit peeved by stuff like Criterion is finally doing, is it Lone Star, the John Sayles movie?
Yeah.
And there's no special
that.
Features.
Are there not?
There's like one. There's like
up.
An interview. People are like, what the hell is going
people
on?
Have been waiting for that for so long.
So
too.
Long. David J. Scal, who wrote like The Monster Show, a famous book. I'm sure good old Del Toro is hidden on here somewhere.
He must be. I mean, they're putting Pinocchio out soon, right?
Oh, that's right. Well, I'll be picking that up. I like that Pinocchio movie.
I haven't seen it. You know.
Next up, we have Eo.
This is more my speed.
Eo.
I love Eo. So cute. You know, it's bleak, but he's so cute, you know, before the bad stuff happens.
What happens?
And everything.
Does he?
I mean, it's like, oh, Hazard.
Is it like
Hazard,
a background
right?
story of the Clerks 2?
He gets
in a donkey show.
Yeah, exactly. he gets abused, and then...
Yeah,
you know,
I've seen that movie. It's called
Hazard,
The Hazard Balthazar.
I mean, and that's what it's supposed to be. I mean, Skolimowski hasn't, you know, said anything different. He's like, yeah, I was inspired by Bresson. I loved it, though. It's one of my favorite movies of last year. And this is one of the first titles in the first wave of the Janus?
Yeah, Sideshow.
Contemporaries.
So, well,
which is
some
like
people
the Criterion
have been,
offshoot for
some
new
people
stuff.
Have been a little bit like, why is some stuff Sideshow? Why is something not main collection?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, these are Criterion, coming from
Ooh,
Criterion.
Cheap. $30?
They're cheaper.
Yeah.
Not much on them, though.
Mm-hmm. So they're clearly doing this.
And it's all the stuff that's been streaming on the Criterion channel for a year.
But it feels almost like are they doing any Netflix like this? Probably not, right?
No, the Netflix stuff are like Criterion's.
Yeah.
These are like their Janus contemporary line, which it's like back in the day when they used to have that Home Vision Entertainment, which was like them, but not them, sort of.
Interesting.
But I'm happy that EO's out because I love that little guy.
Did this come out
love
on any other
guy.
Release?
No.
That you got from somewhere else? No.
No.
Oh, okay.
It was just a
interesting.
It was a streaming exclusive with Criterion, and then
That's it.
That's it.
Next up, we have The Last Wave, a Peter Weir movie, and it's this week's Blind Buy.
And hey, is this from Criterion? I remember this being a Criterion release.
No, this
release
is actually an Umbrella release.
Which makes sense.
2100 limited edition is a very odd number. Hey, it doesn't have the touch of the person who puts out the Blu-rays writing the numbers themselves.
Yeah, I know.
Which I do.
Yeah, that I mean, that's really the personal touch.
Yeah, that's the personal touch. So, are you a Peter Weir fan? Master and Commander? Are you old enough to be like, I'm getting into the Civil War and naval battles?
I can't say I love Master and Commander.
But you love
I
the Truman Show kind of, as a Jim Carrey head.
Who doesn't love the Truman Show?
A lot of people don't.
Do you not like
the
Truman
Show? No, I love the Truman Show.
Yeah, Truman Show's great. Truman Show made me cry when I was a kid.
why can't Ed Harris get a win?
I was looking through Peter Weir's filmography. I'm like, do I like him? I'm like, yeah, I like Picnic.
I like Picnic and
Hanging
Rock.
Picnic and Hanging Rock. I like Witness. I like Witness.
You love the Cars Eddie Paris.
I've never seen that one.
Yeah, it's bad.
Is it bad?
Well, you know what? I'll watch it again.
Okay.
Everybody watches it because of that bug with all the spikes coming out of it, like the VW bug, and most people are like, boring.
Okay. Yeah, I've always been interested in that
Now,
one.
I'd seen The Last Wave, but I think my dad rented it on VHS from the library ages ago.
Oh, okay.
And he must have been like, what the hell is this?
Yeah.
Like,
this is one I've always wanted to see. And speaking of Criterion, it was one of the very first
early DVDs.
Criterion DVDs. And for some reason, it's never been on Blu-ray or anything.
Interesting.
On Criterion. And it's weird because it's on the Criterion channel. That's where I watched it for this. So I'm surprised they haven't put it out. But yeah, I was always interested in this. I never really knew what it was about, though. I just like remembered the front cover image of it. I thought it was pretty cool, though.
I thought it was cool. I have issues with anybody you read reviews about it. Are like, really weird that we're seeing this through the perspective of a white guy.
Yeah, that is a common 70s problem, I guess.
The issue of like, it tries to deal with it too. Like his coworkers, like why do you think you're special?
Yeah.
Like I've been working with these guys for 10 years. But then he is special. Like, that's the issue, right?
Because he has, like, premonition.
Yeah, because the plot is Richard Chamberlain is a lawyer.
He's not even Australian.
No, who's assigned to a case to defend an indigenous Australian man who committed a murder, or did he? And through this, he's having these weird nightmares that may be premonitions. Yeah, I think that, like, I found it really creepy. I found it very subtle in the way that it's constructed, like the use of water and everyone's obsessed with water.
Love the dream sequences and that sort of
stuff. My issue is that, like, it leads basically to the only place it can without any involvement of any of the characters. Like, if the main character did nothing, the same thing would have happened at the end of the movie.
Yeah, I won't say it necessarily shocked me where it went or anything.
You can be kind of like, oh, it's being critical of the way that the wife reacts to the indigenous people. But at the same time, you could read it as like, no, but they're scary, right?
Yeah, exactly, right? You do get like a good performance from David Gulpilly?
David Gulpilly, yep.
Yeah, I always mangle that name, who obviously is probably the most prominent Aborigine Australian actor. But you're right, he's kind of still a bit othered in a way that it's like,
I wish they like just made them characters a little bit more instead of like,
it is very strictly through the perspective of Richard Chamberlain's character, which I mean is what you get when it's directed by a white guy at the end of the day. So I would like to see a version of this movie that is maybe a little more from the perspective of the outsider.
But it's like, he has
characters.
A premonition of doom, and then that premonition of doom comes true. The end.
There it is. So, but did I like the mood of it?
I liked
did
it.
I like the style?
I'm not going to say that I was angry with
this. It was cool, I mean, it's very, if you like Picnic at Hanging Rock, it's a similar kind of vibe as that.
I love Picnic at Hanging Rock.
Yeah, I love that. I love his subsequent stuff, so.
I don't remember. Does that have an angle from like an indigenous perspective as well, Picnic at Hanging Rock?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Maybe vaguely.
Yeah.
I remember that being a little more white.
White. Even, well, it's about like the white school girls
exactly.
that just get lost. I mean, they are on Australian land, I believe.
Yes.
So maybe it's involved
That's
with that.
The thing. I think Peter Weir, he is aware of that perspective. And I think he's trying to grapple with it. I mean, it's a 70s movie. So I feel like it's kind of the best sort of thing you're going to get from that time period. But yeah, it definitely is lacking. Leaves a bit wanting in that perspective. But you know, I was kind of worried it was going to be like boring or just not very good or whatever, but I thought it was fairly hypnotic for most of it. It really had my attention. So, and I thought it was well acted despite, the perspective sort of thing. I don't know. I thought this was pretty cool.
Yeah,
it looks good. So, you know,
I'm glad that we're coming out to say a movie that people consider a classic is good.
Yeah, we don't usually choose like classic movies, but, you know, we were kind of struggling for a blind buy this week. So it fit the bill.
Next up, we have The Last Blood, or as it was named in Hong Kong in the... And I'm surprised they put this title on
it. Yeah, they did.
Because this is something that I believe a VHS company slapped on the... it wasn't even from the distributor.
Yeah.
Hard Boiled 2.
Because it was made before Hard Boiled.
Yes,
right?
It was.
Or it came out before Hard Boiled.
I remember only picking this up because it was called Hard Boiled 2, and that it was directed by Wong Jing. And does it star Wong Jing as well? I think he may be in it. And I'm looking here. No. Oh, Eric Sang. A very Wong Jing-like and another canceled actor, if you will, who was very prolific in Hong Kong. Yeah, I remember liking this one a lot. I haven't seen it since. I love that they're scraping the bottom of the barrel here of when it comes to Hong Kong releases to put out.
Yeah.
How's this one been selling?
This one better than I thought.
Okay.
It's weird because their releases, when they first started breaking into the North American market, they were selling like crazy. It didn't matter what they were putting out. Now it's kind of hit or miss. Like, you know, The Postman Fights Back has been like dying
that's a bad movie
quick
though.
Death out
and
there.
That's one that people may have seen when Fox Lorber put the DVD out.
Yeah, so I thought the same might happen with this, so I went a bit lower, but this one's actually selling better. So I don't know if the Hard Boiled 2 thing has something to do with that, or it just looks a little more action-y.
Yeah,
I don't know. Yeah, but looks fun.
Next up, I put A Bronx Tale on this list because I thought it was a James Gray film. I was incorrect.
What did you think?
What is James Gray's first film?
Oh, Little Odessa?
A Little that Odessa, one? Yes.
Yeah.
Nope, this is Robert De Niro's.
I wish they'd release a Blu-ray of
debut
that.
Debut film, and I have nothing to say about it.
I've never seen it,
not
actually.
Me neither. Maybe it's good.
It's one I've always been like, oh, I should watch that someday, and then I just never do. Okay, all right. Well, it's out now. It's on 4K, I guess.
And next up, we have... The Cracking Collection, Wallace and Gromit. I love these shorts. They're so good.
I love them. I mean, my heritage is British, so this was like on repeat. The VHS tapes were constantly in my player when I was
The ones that only had like two shorts on them, even though they're only 10 minutes long.
I had so many like plush Wallace and Gromit dolls.
Wow,
I was in love with Wallace and Gromit. And still am. They're great. But yeah, I haven't seen these in years. I'm happy they're out again on Blu-ray because these, I believe, were out of print for a long time, at least the original three shorts.
You couldn't get, were they like BB or PBS or BBC?
Something like that. They were on DVD. I know we have rentals, but yeah, I don't think they've been available for sale for like ever. So this has those three.
Where are they streaming now? Because they're DreamWorks. Are they owned by Disney? No, they're not.
I'm
because
not sure.
Netflix is getting the Chicken Run movie.
Oh, are they? Yeah. I'm not sure.
Which, I don't know if you heard about the Chicken Run. They had to get rid of the problematic actor, Mel Gibson. But do you know who they replaced him by? Zachary Levi.
Oh no.
How could they have known?
Just stick with Mel Gibson, guys. Come on. I'd rather have Mel Gibson than Zachary Levi.
All right. So,
anyways, this is cool, though. I love
that. It's nice that it's out.
If you know,
no special features, I don't think. I'm looking here on.
This is kind of. That's why it's, like, I guess, a little cheaper than you might think. But yeah, there's not much on here. I don't think there's anything on here, actually.
I feel like they did do special features for them in some probably UK only release.
Yeah. Unless they're just not listing them.
No,
here,
I'm looking online here, and nothing is coming up, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's a bummer. Great stuff, though. I really love these guys.
Although, so the last one was Wallace and Gromit, The Complete Collection, which came out in 2009.
Oh, okay.
That only had four shorts on it.
Was
and
that a DVD
were,
set?
No, it's a Blu-ray set, 2009. And there were commentaries on all the shorts.
Okay.
Because I think that this one has one extra short. Cracking Contraptions. Oh no.
Yeah.
Those are the 10 short films. So no, it's the same set as before, but with none of the special features.
Where's the I don't remember us ever having a Blu-ray set.
Yeah, it's weird. No, I see it here.
Where is it from?
Let me look. Who put it out? It was Lionsgate Home Entertainment.
Oh, weird.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. So maybe they could make a date.
No idea.
And it looks like it's still available and still in print too.
Oh, weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was not something we had. Well, forget about that. This is probably better, probably cheaper than what the Lionsgate
set. Yeah, none of the extras, but, you know.
Yeah, whatever.
All right, time to talk about Pusher again.
Did we talk about Pusher?
I feel like we've talked about it before. Nicholas Winding Refn comes up a lot on this podcast.
He does come up a lot. This is a nice set, though. Umbrella has put these out, and never been on Blu-ray before, as far as
I know. What the hell? Where's the William Lustig commentary that was recorded for, I think, Pusher 2? There's one of them that we
must.
Yeah, the DVD set. That's one I have. I like the Pusher movies.
Yeah, I love.
Did you see Ruffin is doing like a 2-part children's book adaptation?
No.
Yeah, he is. He's like, I love these children's book when I was like, there's a gun off screen. He's like, I can't make my own projects anymore.
Just whatever he wants to do on a whim.
People are like, I can't believe he's directing that. Aha, dare you forget he directed an episode of, I think, Miss Maple Mysteries.
Oh, he did. Yeah. Miss Marple Mysteries.
Miss Marple,
I forgot. That's when he was like in his fallow period when nobody would hire him after Fear X, which.
And now he's back into his fallow period.
Yeah, he's back in the fallow period. But, you know, he's got like a name and a reputation. I did love these movies, though, at the time. I mean, it's been a while since I've seen them.
It's been a while.
It's been a while. Good stuff, though. And it's a beautiful pack. I mean, it's expensive.
How much is it? Woo! $104. $105. I always need to round up.
I mean,
what am I doing?
Three films, but like... Whew,
that's still $40 almost.
That's a lot.
Yep.
DVD set was like $30.
I'm good with my DVD set.
Yeah, I know. The thing is, they like are gritty looking movies, too. I'm not sure you necessarily... Mm. Well, no. I'm not... Let me not, you know, bury this set. It's good. Buy the Pusher trilogy on Blu-ray.
Wait, didn't somebody... Who's the last person who put it on Blu-ray?
Nobody put it on Blu-ray.
I feel like somebody did.
Not in North America.
Okay.
Maybe, I'm sure somewhere else in the world it has.
Yeah.
But not here.
All right, next up.
Now, when are they going to do Fear X?
I thought they did. I thought there was a release of Fear X.
Not on Blu-ray.
No?
On DVD, which is
I'm looking.
Long,
I feel like there was a Fear X.
Okay. Well, not in North America.
You're a
Fear X
head?
Not in North America.
More like Snorex, are you right?
I think Fear X is cool.
It's all
right. Shot in Canada, too.
Yeah.
Like Winnipeg
feels like
or something,
it.
Right?
Next up, we have Dry Ground Burning. Mark, take it away.
This is a new release from Grasshopper Films, so right up my alley. A grasshopper should pay me to do these things. You
they
know?
Should. They well, should. We've talked
I
about this
about
already.
All of them. Dry Ground Burning is amazing, though. It's kind of like, it's a documentary, but it's one of those like documentaries. It's like almost like hybrid-y fiction type. About an all-female gang in Brazil that's like super like anti the like corrupt Bolsonaro government and
what the Bolsonaro just, government is corrupt?
That, from what I hear, I don't know. I never heard of this guy.
I thought that man is always in the hospital.
Yeah. I mean, help him out, guys. Come on, like,
put him out of his misery.
But yeah, they're like taking back the streets, and you know, a lot of time like their partners are in jail or whatever, so they're kind of like picking up the business and everything. It's beautifully shot. It is long. It's like 2.5 hours, but it just like flies by. Definitely one of the best films this year.
I highly
recommend it.
Next
Very
up.
Cool.
All right. It's time for us to pick a name for the new category.
We blazed through all this stuff just so we could get
Mark asked
to
me
the
to be done
here.
In five. I got 5 minutes left and I'm trying
like
to hold.
I feel like we've only been doing this for like 20 minutes or
yep,
so.
Yep, 25 minutes.
Wow. This is going to be like
through
our
it.
Shortest episode ever.
Hey, well, as per Mark's request.
Well,
he's got work to do.
And we will spend like half an hour talking about the next two. I'm sure.
Wait, this is okay. So we got the Dylan Dungeon. What Willis Watch? What is this? We need the Gibson something. The Gibson Grotto? That sounds too cool.
The Gibson Garage?
Oh, I like the Gibson Garage.
So this could be the
Hirsch
the
Hut?
Hirsch Hotel.
Hirsch Hut?
Hirsch Hell. Yeah.
Oh, Hirsch Hell.
Hirsch
I like
hell,
that. Dude. He's in the hell. Yeah, the Hirsch Hell. Welcome to hell. We'll say that every time. It's
welcome
Hirsch hell.
To hell. The Hirsch Hell.
It's the worst hell, not Hershey hell, it's Hirsch hell.
Yeah. So we got a double bill of Emil Hirsch, which this isn't the first time. I remember maybe like a year ago.
We had a double bill
a
day.
A triple bill of Hirsch.
Oh, that's right, because there was that weird one where he's trapped in the white room.
Where he's in the white room and there was another two. But now we got two. And not only that, same director too.
Oh no, it's Mr. Mobtown.
It's Mr. Mobtown.
Oh.
He's back. Your favorite.
Oh, the worst. Okay.
Danny A. Abakazer or something.
I really need to know, how is this man still making movies?
Okay, so I looked him up. He is an actor,
okay,
first and foremost, or was like one of those bit player,
yeah,
actors. He must be some like nepo kid though,
okay,
or, like has money. He started directing DTV shit, I don't know, 2015, 16.
Directing, that is a very generous,
but he always does like the same kind of movie, like Scorsese-esque like DTV shit, like,
okay,
it's all like trying to be like Scorsese type shit, like Mobtown. There was another one with Harvey Keitel.
I need
made.
To be clear for people who don't remember a Mobtown.
Yeah, Mobtown
episode.
Was really bad.
Mobtown was barely a movie.
Yeah.
I think I recall saying they just run into the woods.
They run into the woods
and
then
just credits roll.
Well, again, like these two movies, which are true stories.
Oh,
that's another
no.
thing. He does true stories. Mobtown was a true story.
Now, how does
about
it compare?
A bunch of mobsters that met up in some like suburban town, and at the end, you know, the cops come and they all run into the woods.
Excitement wise was Mobtown.
So I'll be honest,
we got two.
I only watched Inside.
Oh, you didn't watch The Engineer?
I couldn't do it, man. It's just like these movies are too bad. So I watched Inside.
Really? After a lifetime of Willis
but
watching.
The problem is they take themselves too
seriously.
They're too dry,
okay,
you know? Like you watch Mobtown. It's just
ugh,
like even with David Arquette in it, it was just
that's
like,
what Hirsch Hell is,
it's not
man.
Fun. It's not fun.
I like, well, I want to say I like Emil Hirsch. Emil Hirsch.
I liked Emil Hirsch
I
at
did,
one point.
Until
yeah.
he strangled that woman yeah. while drunk at a bar.
Yep.
Now, he's apologized for that, I believe.
He has. He's
been
gone
like,
on
trying to
a lot of apology tours for that.
Yeah.
Not that I think, you know, he's
yeah.
really taken that much accountability.
I mean, he's in Hirsch Hell now.
He's in Hirsch Hell. He's, yeah, he's fully in Hirsch Hell.
But did he co-write these? That's when he's really.
No, he was co-writing with Randall Emmett.
Oh.
Who I don't. I don't think he's worked with since all that.
Oh, you think that
out.
He's been like, oh no,
well,
Randall, how could you?
I don't know
this?
If it's because he's, you know,
a good man.
A good man. I think yeah. his PR people or his team was probably like, oh, maybe he's.
Are there
any
Hirsch fans out there?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, people, he keeps making movies.
Like, what is the Emil Hirsch? I mean, I love him in Speed Racer, and I love
yeah.
him in The Girl Next Door.
Yep. I love Girl Next Door.
Yeah. Where'd that guy go? Luke Green,
of...
Mr. Animal himself, Luke
yeah,
Greenfield.
Whatever happened to that
I
guy?
I don't know.
Yeah. It's a great movie.
TV, I think.
Probably
what, TV. The Animal is great.
Sure.
The Rob Schneider film. Was there
sure,
a sequel
yeah.
to The Animal?
I
there
think
was one
there
that
what?
Was threatened?
I think, because I was,
it was
looking
a Joe
up
Dirt sequel.
Rob Schneider recently. Yeah. Joe Dirt sequel was like a Crackle movie
yes.
or something. I think they did an Animal sequel that was
or
also
maybe they
like
announced
a
an Animal sequel
I think
and never
right.
came out.
I think they either made it or are making an Animal sequel.
That is wild.
I think. Which
okay.
is crazy. But I mean, I thought them making a Joe Dirt sequel was crazy too. So.
Do you like Joe Dirt, the first one?
I did when I was a kid, but I also really liked David Spade at the time, so now I don't think he's that funny anymore, so.
Oh, the animal sequel starring and directed by Rob Schneider.
Oh.
It's not a Crackle original. Oh. What do you think it's an original of, then? It's a streaming service. Think Crackle.
Peacock?
The People Streamer.
It's not Crackle.
No.
It's not a Tubi original, I assume.
It is?
No way.
It's a Tubi original.
Wow. I've been kind of impressed by Tubi lately. Like, their originals were like, you know, Lifetime type movies, yep, or like the odd Bruce Willis movie. Now they're getting like Rob Schneider to do the animal too. Wow. Good for them. Good for them.
He's returning in the role of Marvin Mange. Do you think he's going to, man, Rob Schneider, he's so bad now.
I honestly don't remember. I don't remember hating the animal when I was a kid, but I also don't remember anything about it. So.
You know what? When Mark brings in the Australian DVD of The Animal 2.
We'll watch
released
it.
By Umbrella. We'll watch it.
I'll watch it. I'll watch it for this.
You'll watch it on Tubi. You're going to be there day one.
I'll watch it on Tubi. If it's on a Tubi, like, I have to support Tubi, which is the people's streaming service.
Fox News. Streaming service. They're still owned by Fox News.
Don't care. Yeah. Don't care.
Listen, no.
You know, I have my problematic favorites. Okay, Tubi's gonna be one of those.
Emil Hirsch. Tubi, Randall Emmett. You love Randall Emmett. James Woods.
Yeah, I like them all.
All right. So, anyways, you watched Inside Man.
I watched Inside Man because I thought it was funny that they just boldly decided to call this Inside Man after the Spike Lee movie.
Not to be confused with Inside Man 2.
Yeah, not Inside Man 2.
Yeah.
No relation to the Spike Lee movie at all. This is such like a stupid like Goodfellas meets Departed light. It's like a true story taking place in the 70s, I guess. Emil Hirsch is like a cop on probation because he beat some guy up for like sleeping with his wife. And then he's like, I'm going to go undercover with this gang that I like somehow got hooked up with. I don't know. It's like really convoluted. He talks through the whole thing because it's like narration. This guy is trying, this Danny Abacazer guy is trying to make Goodfellas here. Like he's doing that Henry Hill narration the whole fucking time in this movie. It's so irritating.
Now, better or worse than that other cop movie we watched directed by the No Wave director?
Oh, the Mel Gibson one?
Yeah, what was that called again?
Confidential Informant.
Yes.
I think I liked that one better. That had a little more style to it.
I mean, style
in air quotes.
Piss green visuals.
Yeah, this has nothing. Like, this is just like a TV movie. Better looking than Mobtown.
Okay.
I'll say that. When I was watching, I'm like, how is this going to compare to Mobtown? Mobtown looks like, I don't think people understand how shitty Mobtown looks. Like you see David
Arquette.
We're
talking about
this
and people are like, well, I got to see Mobtown.
Yeah, no,
and it's like, you don't need to see Mobtown.
Watch Mobland with John Travolta, you know, which we talked about last week. Mobtown, not good. So compared to that.
Oh, wait, I want to say heads up. Someone on the Important Cinema Club Discord said they went to go see Mobland in theaters.
I know, it went to theaters in the U.S.
And they said, I was glad they talked about it because I thought it was pretty good too.
There you go. Well, this is not as good as Mobland. Much better than Mobtown. I'll say that.
I mean, it's like my turd was firmer.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the comparison.
But I will say this Abacazer, whatever, has a bit more of a budget now.
Okay.
I don't know about the engineer.
What is going on?
I mean, he's got Emil Hirsch and Lucy Hale, who's a name, I guess. Yeah. Ashley Green, who they've misspelled her name on the back here, which is nice. James Russo is in this. Robert DeVee is in this too.
Hey, Robert DeVee. Oh, yes, a sign of quality.
He plays like the Paul Sorvino part too, which of course he does, right? The Engineer, I did not watch. This is also a true story about. So, Emil Hirsch again.
Yep.
Playing. Oh, this is timely too, because it's about Israel being rocked by a series of terrorist bombings. Here we go. A U.S. senator's daughter.
I keep reaching for the Blu-ray.
Killed in a bloody explosion.
And Mark keeps pulling it back.
Okay, so Hirsch plays an ex-Mossad agent who must lead an elite covert team of agents and mercenaries to find the man responsible.
Oh, nothing says ex-Mossad like Emil Hirsch.
Yikes. This is going to be touchy subject matter, I think. So I almost wish I'd watched The Engineer now.
That sounds like the meaty one. That sounds better. You're going to go home and you're going to watch The Engineer now.
Yeah, that sounds way better. Okay, I need to. I don't know why I went for Inside Man.
And the
Man
word
first,
better, but, yeah. I know why you went for Inside Man. Because it's called Inside
it's
Man.
Kind of
That's
Inside
the only
Man.
Reason
that was the
you
only reason.
To see it.
I didn't have time to watch both. I'm like, which one? Inside Man. I'll go for that.
Are they both written by the same person? I think maybe.
Maybe.
Yes, they are.
Are they?
Yeah.
It's not Costa the director, though.
Costa Condilopoulos.
Oh, yeah. I saw that name come up.
Produced by Kyle Stefani. So maybe this was like a double shot of like, let's get
I mean,
both
they
these
both
movies.
Came out like right one after the other on VOD. So he must have shot them back to back. Yeah, I guess.
Well,
I
all
wonder
right.
where they shot the engineer though. Did they actually go to like Israel?
No, they probably shot like Utah or something.
Right?
I mean, maybe this is. I don't even want to speculate on how this got made.
I'm gonna have to watch it now. Now I gotta watch it and I'll report.
Give us an update.
I'll report back. Yeah.
You think you'll be moving some of the $39 Blu-rays of the engineer?
So this is the one copy of this I brought in, and I literally just brought it in so we could talk about it on the podcast. Did I think anybody was gonna buy this? No. Inside Man only came out on DVD and it's like $17. Nobody's touched that either. So,
nope.
I mean, but thankfully I can send these back. So.
Yeah. Phew. To the garbage dump.
Emil Hirsch, he's got to have some FaceTime, I guess.
Yeah, we
got
to get out of Hirsch hell. Emil Hirsch needs to get together with our man, Brad. What's his name?
Oh, Brad. Brian Stiba.
Brian Stiba.
Well, he already did get together.
I know, but he needs to stay with him. That's the guy he's got to stay with, yeah.
Yeah, I think the problem with the Emil Hirsch stuff, he's not like a John Travolta. He's not like a guy who, or even like a Steven Dorff, who's kind of like willing to chew the scenery a bit. Or just
he's very kind of like low-key.
I feel like, yeah, he's trying. Like, when watching Inside Man, he's trying to like, give a like a good serious performance, and I'm like, it's just boring. I'd rather him go a little like nuts, you know?
Yeah, you need. Has Emil Hirsch ever gone nuts in any of these movies?
He maybe not in these movies. I feel like he went nuts in some things. In
Think
the
about
past.
It. Wait,
did
in that Skiba film, doesn't he have like tattoos on his face?
Yeah,
and stuff
he
like
went
that?
More
yeah.
nuts in that. I preferred him in that Skiba film. So you're right. He's got to hook back up with Skiba.
Mm-hmm.
That's where he's at.
Skiba, Dorff.
Yeah, get away from
Hirsch.
This. He needs to get away from this Abakazer guy. Like, that guy.
Get away
boring.
From Randall Emmett.
Get out of here, dude.
Join the, what's the name of the guy who does all of the, who did all the Willows films, also produced Mobland?
Corey Large.
Corey Large. Get the Corey Large family.
I mean, they know, I think he
they
was
work
in
together,
Corey
yeah.
Large produced movies.
Yep,
so.
Let's get it. And
we can
return to Hirschel once again.
I mean, it's not going to stop burning because this guy just keeps making movies. Emil Hirsch, man, he just won't stop working. Maybe this helps him take his mind off all the, you know, bad things that he did or whatever.
All right, so that's it for this week's episode of the Bay Street Video Podcast.
The Emil Hirsch Podcast.
The Emil Hirsch Podcast. So until next week, my name is Jonathan McGlue.
And I'm Mark Hansen.
Keep on buying.
Keep on renting. What you wanna watch? Good Emil Hirsch.
I was going to say, Emil Hirsch films, you got
These
it.
These movies and many more are available at your local video store.
I honestly remember thinking when I was a kid, like, this guy, he's going to be like the next great actor, you know?
Based on just like...
Based on
The Girl Next Door.
Girl
probably.
Next Door. I mean, I like Dangerous Lives of Altar Boys at the time.
Oh, I didn't like that one, yeah.
I mean, I haven't revisited it in years. Yeah, Speed Racer, I loved. Not necessarily because of him.
The Autopsy of Jane Doe.
You know, I didn't really like
Into
that
the
movie.
Wild?
Oh, I did like Into the Wild.
Yeah.
At the time, I really liked Into the Wild.
Wow, he drops off fast.
He dropped off really
he
fast.
He was in Milk as well?
Oh, yeah, he was good in that.
And then, Killer Joe?
Oh, I liked him in that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good. I saw him at TIFF in that, actually.
And then we're getting into the dregs very quickly.
Yeah. Well, I remember he was in Savages. I feel like Savages was one of his last, like, bigger
He was
roles.
In Lords of Dogtown.
Oh,
he
right.
was in Peter Berg's
I did.
Lone Survivor.
I didn't see that.
Oh, bad.
Well, that would have been Randall.
Alpha Dog?
That was
Speaking
Randall.
Of your man, Nick Cassavetes.
I did like Alpha Dog at the time. Bad movie, but I just
I remember him being fun and against type in Prince Avalanche, that David Gordon Green film with Paul Rudd.
I never saw that, actually.
That. And then Taking Woodstock, P.U.
Yeah, I didn't watch that.
Remember the Netflix Japanese... where Jared Leto plays like the outsider. Yeah, he's in that.
Oh man,
I started watching that.
Yeah. I watched like 20 minutes of that and then turned it off because I just found it boring.
Oh, The Emperor's Club. That's Kevin Kline.
I really like The Emperor's Club because it was just like a Dead Poet Society.
What is Gargantua? That's like an aquatic horror movie.
Is.
Marine biologist Jake Elwer and his son Brandon are drawn.
Was that from the 90s?
Yep.
I think I've seen that.
1998.
I've seen Gargantua.
Who's
I didn't know he was
from the director. Oh, it's a TV movie because it's from the director of Darkman 2
I
and Darkman 3.
I remember seeing that on TV.
Die, Darkman, die.
Die, Darkman, die.
All right, adding it to the list.
Yeah,
also,
no, I remember having fun with Gargantua.
I'm sure it's terrible.
It's really bad. Yeah.
And it's probably like a big CG creature. I feel like I'll watch a clip of it and go, oh, yeah, I've seen that.
It was one of those like network TV movies
that
were like hyping up.
Emil Hirsch was involved in that Guillermo del Toro show, Troll Hunters. I don't know anyone who's watched it, but it's out there. They made like 9 seasons of it.
Wow.
Wait, what is this Western I've never heard of, Never Grow Old, from 2019?
Yeah, we have that. We, for some reason, never watched that when it came out. I think that has like a real director behind it, though, too.
Ivan Kavanaugh, the director of The Canal, Son.
Oh, yeah. I like The Canal. It's a good little horror movie.
Wait, did we have that on Blu-ray and we talked about it?
I think we didn't talk about that. I think that was an oversight on our part.
He was also in Freaks. I remember that being in a...
Yes.
What is All Nighter? That's a J.K. Simmons.
No idea what that is.
The Chinese Widow, a Chinese propaganda film. Oh, no, maybe not, because it's directed by Billy August. Who's Billy August?
Very famous director.
House of the Spirits.
Yeah.
Emil Hirsch, you know what? Not a lot of hits. I feel that the hits that he was in, you had to be there to remember them.
Yeah, it was kind of a time. I think it's like a millennial thing, you know? We kind of like, I feel like, I just feel like I related to him in Girl Next Door.
He was in the Air I Breathe. I watched Girl Next Door so much when it came out. I had it on DVD.
I had the DVD
to the commentary.
Too,
yep. Really good.
With that little like cardboard slip over.
Oh, that's right, because it was brown.
Yeah.
I think I got rid of that.
It's a good movie.
Good movie.
Girl Next Door.
We should have got more Elizabeth Dushku, Eliza Dushku,
Alicia Cuthbert. Come on, Canadian pride.
I know.
Here.
Popular Mechanics for kids. Do you think she and Jay Baruchel ever talk anymore?
Nah.
Were they in the same period?
Yeah.
What about that third guy? Remember, there was like a third guy that was on the show.
Yeah, there's a third guy who replaced Jay Baruchel.
Yes,
I think right.
Yeah, do you think they still
talk? Nobody remembers him.
All I remember is the episode is he goes on like a ride that goes vertical. And he was so scared. That's all I
thought that kid was okay, but I prefer Jay Baruchel.
Yeah, Jay Baruchel. And of course, I can't say, all I can think of is Dushku.
Eliza Dushku.
Dushku.
Alicia Cuthbert.
Yeah, she's stopped acting, didn't she?
I don't really know what she's doing anymore.
Did she marry someone that was also
famous?
Well,
she was into athletes for a while.
She was into athletes?
Well, because she was, there was a big controversy. She was with a hockey player who was like a real trash talker, douchebag hockey player, and then left him to be with a Toronto Maple Leafs player, and then there was all this trash talking going on between these two guys over her. It was really weird.
Yeah.
So she was with some hockey players for a while. I don't know who she's with now.
I'm surprised she's not showing up in these like Randall Emmett style movies.
I'm surprised too. I feel like she must have been in something. I feel like she was in something
recently
though. I don't know why.
We're gonna look and be like, oh, of course. House of Wax, Old School. What's newest? Yeah, you know what? She's shown up in them. She was in a movie with Mel Gibson that we did not Bandit.
Oh, yeah.
Josh Duhamel, Alicia Cuthbert.
We never talked. That was a Canadian movie. I just don't really like Josh Duhamel.
We're not doing the Gibson Garage.
We missed out on that. We missed out on that one. Yeah.
All right.
Sorry. I wasn't on my game. Jeez.